Welcome back to another episode of Pending Nuptials, the podcast.
Although,
what did she say? My friend told me that we could be Pending Parenthood, could be our temporary name.
I like the P's, the alliteration. Yep.
Yeah. Pending Nuptials, Pending Parenthood edition.
Pending.
Prenatals.
Poop.
Oh, God. There's going to be so much poop.
So much poop.
So much poop. You know, I don't know why, but the last couple of days, I have been thinking about the first time that we experience a diaper blowout. And what is that going to be like?
We're going to get the initial, ugh, and then we'll get over it.
Right. Well, we are in episode 3 of season 3, which is so weird to think about that we're in season 3.
Yeah. But that's life, baby. You find a topic, you run with it, you record, edit, bam, next one.
So today we're going to talk about planning for Bubba. And for those of you, we call it a Bubba, we call it a Bramble, we call it the child.
It's pretty common for people online to call it Bubba.
Yeah.
I just found out.
But also, some people think that that's like a cue into what the gender of our baby is. We don't know.
Yeah, those people need to take a step back.
Just because I'm using Bubba, which could be used, I guess, in a male way, does not mean that we're having a boy.
How about Nuggets? Would that be better, people?
Nugget.
I feel like Nugget's a little annoying. Like, it's a little cutesy.
Yeah, it's a little too cliche.
Yeah.
Quirky.
I mean, our go-to choice of name for the fetus is Bramble.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't even remember how we got there.
I think you were saying what it was at the time.
Like what size it was?
Not only that, but it could have been, I don't know, anywhere from like 12 weeks around that time. And you said it was the size of a zygote or something. And the next week it was something that I interpreted as Bramble. Like when I tried to recall what the name of it was, I'm like, yeah, something Bramble.
You were trying to say the Latin word and you came out with, okay.
Yeah.
It's all coming back to me now. Yeah. But yeah, so Bramble just stuck. Mm-hmm. So I guess for the point of all of this is that we do not know the gender of our baby.
Nope.
We've been given the option several times to mm-hmm. find out, and to which we said nay.
We've been resilient so far.
Yes.
Reluctantly.
I know. I don't know why it's becoming increasingly hard for me. Like, I want to know so bad.
You want
like,
that satisfaction at the end of the rainbow.
I do. I want to know. But at the same time, I'm very excited for it to come into the world and for you to look at me and say, it's a...
I'll make the announcement, people. Yeah. So you've been having dreams.
Yes.
About our child.
Yes.
And does it change the gender every dream? Or is there one gender that it is more than others in your dreams?
You know, now that you say that, in my dreams, it tends to be more boy.
Gotcha.
But there's definitely a girl in there every once in a while. But like last night, this morning, I rolled over and I was like, I had a dream we had a baby and it was a boy and it had very long eyelashes.
Yeah, you did say that.
I mean, there was obviously more to my dream, but like that's the main thing that I wanted to let you know.
Yeah.
It was a boy and it had long eyelashes.
And then you go back to sleep.
Was I really snoring last night?
It was borderline.
Was I on my back?
Nope.
Yikes. I wasn't on my back and nope. I was almost snoring. Mm-hmm. That's not good. Yeah. That can't be good. Anyways, so today we're just going to talk about planning for baby and what we're doing. Again, I always feel like I have to put a disclaimer when we talk about this kind of stuff is that this is just our experience and our research. It's going to be different for every single person. We're just telling you what our experience has been thus far.
Right.
Would you say I'm a planner?
What's an understatement of an understatement? Because that's what I would use.
Listen, I love research. It soothes me. I think it's like part of my control issues of like being able to have an understanding of what's to come and being able to think that I have control over that situation, which this is a situation I have zero control over.
Well, what's happening in your body, even then you've got some control over that.
A little bit, yeah, but...
But that's not a bad thing.
No, not necessarily. It can delve into unhealthy habits, but for this purpose, it has not become unhealthy.
Correct.
At this point.
I would agree.
But like, we're kind of in this zone where we're trying to find that sweet spot of productive planning and overthinking.
Yeah.
And so in this zone that we're in, what are things that you are kind of grappling with as far as like being like productive planning for the baby versus overthinking things? Is there things that you feel like that you're overthinking, or is there like, do you have a running to-do list of productivity things that you want to do before the baby's born?
Yeah, it usually all starts when I walk into the nursery and I look around and be like, okay, what can I do now that my future self is going to thank me for?
Right. Is there anything that like pops to your head right now?
Maybe just installing some of the baby equipment.
Okay.
Like the monitor and the other video system that we've got.
Yeah. Just
getting it really prepped and fine-tuned.
Yeah, and we kind of touched on this a little bit our last episode, I think, is that for me personally, like I wasn't allowing myself to start the nesting process of the nursery until we got to a certain milestone. Mm-hmm. And so once we had that, was it our anatomy scan, 20 weeks? Was that when it was, when we came home and did the nursery?
Yeah, that was right on.
Yeah. So at 20 weeks, we went and had our full body anatomy scan, and then we came home. And that day we put together the crib, we put together the stroller and the car seat, put together the baby swing, and we moved the dresser into the room. And I think within the same week you hung the bookshelves in
Oh, yeah.
there. Like it was a very quick, like, and the nursery.
But there again lies the coping mechanism for this life that's about to come into the world.
For sure.
Like, why would we stress at the very end when we can just do a little bit each day?
Absolutely. Because I think something that a lot of people don't fully realize until they're pregnant or planning for a baby is that you are told that come 36 weeks, you need to be ready to rock and roll at any moment, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because that we are quickly approaching that.
Wow.
Quickly. And so like they tell you like that your hospital bag needs to be packed and ready by 36 weeks.
Ah.
So really the second trimester is the time to like really get into those nesting projects.
Sure.
So at this point, we've pretty much got the nursery done. We're still missing a couple pieces, but not that this is going to happen, but if the baby came tomorrow, like we would be okay.
Mm-hmm. We would probably have to Amazon Prime deliver between 2 and 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Some of those things.
Well, like that's the thing is like, so this is for me, my straddling line of productive versus overthinking is like, when do I start piling up on diapers?
Oh, right.
Like, when is it okay for me to start ordering things like that? Like, I shouldn't wait till 36 weeks, but like, do I just like at 35 weeks?
No,
I
think it's a pretty quick calculation. How many diapers do you go through a day on average?
10 to 12.
Right. And divide that by how soon you can get them. So stockpile now or just order a bunch all at once if we have to.
Yeah. And so think for things like diapers, I'm hopeful that we will get like an Amazon subscription started. Like once we get in the groove of knowing like when we run out of diapers of
there
like finding that sweet spot, just mm-hmm. like the Chewy order for not sponsored, but we'd love to be sponsored.
That'd be awesome.
The Chewy order with the dogs of like finding that sweet spot of like when new food should be arriving. So as far as like other nesting projects that are not in the nursery, is there anything that like you have like a running list of things that you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, probably as much as I can that is not baby related. So uh-huh. that way I don't have to step away and be
yeah.
like you have to come grab me if I'm like working on
the roof.
Yeah, or anything outside and you need a break, I can drop something and it's not a huge ordeal. So
right.
if I get those things done now, Again, my future self will thank me.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because it's like, we've talked about this in probably our first season of like our roles within the household, of like a lot of your quote unquote chores and tasks that you do on a weekly basis are outside. Mm-hmm. A lot of the manual labor type things that I don't necessarily enjoy doing.
You hear that, boys?
We don't have to get into this again, but
you brought it up, lady.
I know. You were just so good at mowing the lawn.
Yeah, I don't want to take that joy from you.
I don't.
I hate that line.
But you like it.
It has to be done.
Like, that's true. And it looks so good once you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like that same kind of, those roles are starting to transition into our nesting phase as well.
Totally.
So like you're talking about doing stuff like handy stuff outside the house. And then there's me where I have like a running list of like rooms or parts of the house that need to be cleaned and organized.
Yeah.
And so this weekend while you were gone, I completely emptied and reorganized and decluttered our pantry.
And it looks great.
Which we have a walk-in pantry. And I got rid of so much crap. I mean, you don't really realize how much you've like squirreled away mm-hmm. in something so small as a pantry until you pull it all out.
What was the most random thing that you pulled out? Or one that you completely forgot about or didn't even remember getting?
I didn't even know we had a George Foreman grill.
Yeah.
And I found one in there.
That is from the bus. Because at the end of a touring season, buses aren't leased. If we're not working.
Uh-huh.
So we got to clear everything off. And that was a lifesaver.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, we still have it because mm-hmm. there was like a couple things where I was like, hey, George Foreman grill. I can't remember what the other thing was. They're in a pile right outside this door.
Perfect.
I was like, do we still want these items? And you're like, I definitely want the George Foreman grill. I was like, okay, well, I didn't donate it yet.
Yet.
Well, it was in my donation pile. But so George Foreman grill, like, I'm trying to think like the most random food item that I found.
Probably a bunch of candy that was like almost at the bottom of the bag.
Yeah, I did not realize how much candy we had in our house.
No, but that's not a big deal because Halloween wasn't super long ago. It was, what, 6 months ago at this point?
Yeah, but it wasn't even Halloween candy. It was like just random candy that I had like had a hankering for and bought, and then it went to die in the pantry.
Well, what does that say about you? That you've got self-restraint? Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that.
There you
all go. Right, okay. We'll turn it around. We'll flip that script.
See, optimism.
Yeah, but now I can see it all and I've been eating more of it. Because I did. I bought like all of the like, I'm sure people out there will understand, but like the Marie Kondo home edit, like clear organizational stuff, and just like made the pantry look so beautiful.
It does.
So that was one of my nesting projects. What else did I do? I've slowly been doing the cabinets in the kitchen. We had like I feel like a lot of people have like that catch-all cabinet where it's just like a hodgepodge of mm-hmm. random
or a couple
glassware or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I emptied that out and it became the designated baby cupboard. So other things on my list are the linen closet.
And oh, yeah.
The laundry room. Oh, I did my own closet. Closets. Listen, I got a lot of shit.
Well.
And the closet in our room is pretty small.
You probably have clothes that I still haven't seen you wear.
You're not wrong.
And that's not a bad thing, because every time you put it on, you look great, I'm sure. But you also know when things have to go, and I have to commend you for that.
Well, I try with every season to get rid of at least like a trash bag full of things.
Yeah.
And I will say that since I started doing Rent the Runway, not sponsored, would love to be sponsored though.
Yes.
I find myself not buying as much clothes, which is good.
Sure.
So I've been purging more, but not buying any.
Makes sense.
And so it's starting to thin out a little bit. My closets are the most organized they've ever been since we moved into the house.
Yeah.
Which I think you had said that was on your list as well, was your own closet.
Oh, you trying to call me out?
No, I'm just...
on the air like this?
We're on the topic. So I'm trying to include you. I'm trying to engage you. Aren't you going to clean out your closet too?
You mean mm-hmm. my mm-hmm. single closet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you have stuff scattered around as well.
Don't we all?
Well, yeah.
But you have over double amount of storage space I do.
You can have some too.
See, call her out on the radio like this, on the podcast.
I'm happy
and then
to
she
share,
capes.
Honey. Uh-huh. What's mine is yours.
Yeah, when this is over, when I hit stop recording. I forgot. Is that how it went down?
Kind of going back to that line of straddling between being productive and overthinking the topic of research as a whole. So being a millennial, because I feel like it's a very millennial thing, I love Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a bunch of resources on Pinterest. And so I've been doing a lot of research for pregnancy, for birth, for breastfeeding, for finding inspiration for the nursery, all of that kind of stuff on Pinterest. And there comes to a certain like point where I, for certain topics like giving birth and or like breastfeeding, where I have to like put the brakes on for myself. Oh, okay. And not allow myself to go down the deep, deep rabbit hole of research. Because I feel like the more I do, the more stressed and anxious I get.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I've been trying to rein in how much I'm sharing with you as far as like those topics of birth and things.
Okay.
So like, does it bother you when I send you like videos of how to be a supportive partner during labor? Or like when I was in New York last week and I sent you a YouTube of someone's birth vlog. And I was like, her husband's doing a great job of supporting her. You want to watch this?
Yeah. No, it does not bother me when you send me that stuff. Now, I will kind of pick and choose which ones I want
actually
to watch.
Open. Yeah. Like, has anything I sent you, and you don't have to be specific, like, could be just a yes or no, but has anything I sent you, like, been new information to you of like, oh, I didn't know that that's something I should do?
Not really, because I would say most of the things you send me that are baby related are dads interacting with their kids and animals interacting with the babies.
Oh, you mean like Instagram videos that I send you?
Sure, but even then, yeah, a lot of those are entertaining and I get inspiration like, oh, I'm definitely going to do that.
Right, yeah. I mean, we can do a whole episode on how we are preparing for the act of birth. I don't know if that's something that people would be interested in, but maybe it is because it's something that I look at. Like YouTube videos that I watch are like preparing for birth or what's in my hospital bag and things like that. So maybe we'll do a whole episode regarding that.
There you go.
But another thing as far as like our prep that we're doing, and we've slowly started, really, you've actually done more prep in this area than I have, is meal prep for when the baby comes.
Yep, probably have made, I don't know, 40 breakfast burritos at this point.
Crazy.
With no end in sight. Thanks a lot, chickens. Keep it up.
Well, we've talked about this before, but I'm technically not supposed to eat our chicken eggs because they're not pasteurized. Mm. So we have literal Home Depot buckets full of eggs in our garage.
Yep.
And Ben's been looking for an outlet to use them. And
I found it.
He found it. He's been making breakfast burritos, and then he's putting the burritos in the freezer so that we have quick breakfast for when the baby comes so that we don't have to spend copious amounts of time making breakfast.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's the point of meal prep.
Yeah. And then what did I just buy this weekend?
This weekend, you bought a drumroll Instapot.
And what took me the longest to do with the Instapot?
You were afraid to open it.
I don't know why.
Nor do I.
I just like, I think the idea of it like became a little overwhelming for me.
Maybe.
Because so many people are like, oh my God, the Instapot's like the best kitchen appliance you'll ever buy. And then we got it. I had it. I found it at Marshall's on sale. And I was like, you know, I've been wanting to get one. So I might as well because it's like super cheap. Mm-hmm. And then it sat in the laundry room in the box for 4 days because I was scared to open it. But like, it is an easy thing to use, but at the same time, I don't know why I was like scared of like the pressure cooking part of it.
It's like you knew that the moment you open this, Your life was going to change.
Yeah, for the better, because I've made dinner in there twice now. It's pretty good.
2 for 2.
Made Korean short ribs. Anyways, the point of this is I bought it because there's a lot of recipes that you can, like, I think they call them like dump recipes,
yeah,
where you can put all the ingredients and the seasonings and everything in a Ziploc bag, toss it in the freezer, and then all you got to do is dump it into the Instapot with some water or some stock, mm-hmm, and then press the button, and there you go. It's good to go.
I can't wait to sous vide with it. I'm going to do like some sous vide burgers.
Oh, you do burgers that way?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So do you do the whole thing sous vide, or do you sous vide it for a certain amount of time and then toss it on the grill?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh.
But just like the beauty of the sous vide is, there is really no time constraint. It cooks it at that temperature. You can pull it out at any time and cook it. So that way, a lot of our dinner setbacks usually come with time constraints.
For sure.
Right? Like, crap, this called for rice. I don't have 45 minutes.
Exactly. I literally said that the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with a sous vide, you can pull it out in 4 hours and 6 hours. It doesn't matter. Sear that thing up and you're good to go.
Interesting. Because the only thing that I really know of sous vide wise is an egg, right?
Oh, yeah.
Don't people sous vide eggs?
Sure, sure.
But for a sous vide, don't you have to put it in like some sort of plastic bag?
Yeah, we would have to get a vacuum sealer.
Oh, no.
What would you do
another
with the vacuum sealer?
Another kitchen gadget. I feel like that's something that you would really enjoy having. Didn't Maybe. You actually talk about wanting one?
I think because of that.
Oh, okay.
And now that we have the machine to do it, I need the sealer.
Well, there you go.
There we go.
Yeah, so I've been like saving recipes on Pinterest of things that would be easy to freeze and or put in the crock pot or in the Instapot or anything like that, because I've been working on a postpartum Bible, yeah, which sounds excessive and it probably is. But again, going back to, I like to plan and I like research. And so my thought is that, you know, if I'm upstairs feeding the baby and Ben is wanting to be helpful, that I have like this essentially binder of quick snacks he can bring me, or like how to specifically make a certain kind of latte that I like, mm-hmm, or like how to put together some of my postpartum care, anything like that, so that it's just a resource for him that I wrote myself. Because part of my problem is that a lot of times when I ask someone to do something for me, a lot of times I end up doing it myself because in my own brain, I want to do it myself because I want it done the way that I want it.
You've been around me too long.
Would you say you're the same way?
1,000%.
So what I'm trying to do with this binder in particular is give you a step-by-step of how I would do it myself, so that that anxiety of like me wanting to control the situation is taken away, mm-hmm, because I've given you the tools to do it the way that I would do it.
Yeah. You've already putting down to ledger how you would do it.
Right.
So follow these directions. Don't screw it up.
God, it sounds super controlling when I say it out loud.
If you delve too deep into it, maybe. If you want to get into the philosophy and the psychological breakdown of chefs and them making cookbooks.
No, I just like, basically it's exactly what you were saying earlier about yourself, of like, my future self will thank me because I don't want to have to think about like, is he putting the correct amount of whatever into what he's making me. And so it's just all written down and taken care of.
I'm just going to wing it. You ask for like some lemon garlic chicken with fingerling potatoes. And
it actually sounds really good.
I'm just going to give you like a microwave dinner. Sorry, honey, I didn't have most of these things, but
there's
this?
Potatoes in there.
Yeah.
The other thing as far as like planning and prep is our birth plan, our labor plan. We won't go too into depth on this part, but our doctor said like that we should sign up for a birthing course. Mm-hmm. And so I did that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like I signed us up like really early on, but the same thing is like those birthing classes get filled up really quickly because people forget to do it. So I've signed us up for a very well-renowned birthing class here in Nashville. And like, I think at one point I asked you, I was like, do you want to do it like right before the baby comes. So it's like fresh in our mind, or you want to do it when we're not too far along. You're like, let's do it right before.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So,
the day we get back
from our baby
from
moon.
Key West.
Yeah. Yeah. We're also part of planning is we have planned our baby moon, which mm-hmm. I'm super excited about.
You say that now, but I think I said it on the podcast a couple times ago,
mm-hmm.
or maybe I've just said it so much it's become omnipotent.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to be miserable for our baby moon.
How dare you?
You're going to be 8 months pregnant. It's going to be hot. Luckily, we will be south enough. There won't be too much humidity, right? Mm-hmm. Is that how that works?
I don't know.
It won't be blistering hot in Key West, but you'll have, what, 7 pools available to you?
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Yeah, we found a really cool hotel. It's like a collection of historical houses that they turned into one hotel, and each house has its own pool. So, like, the reviews that I read said that you never feel like the pool is too crowded like you would in a typical resort,
yeah.
Which is cool. And, like, I mean, we've never taken a beach vacation together, mm-hmm. which is so weird. We always go to the mountains.
But to be fair, when we visit your family in San Diego,
yeah,
we go to the
that's
beach.
True. Yeah, but that's different. Like,
yeah, I know.
The
it's
beach,
not the Atlantic.
Exactly. Like, I think a lot of people think that the beach in California is like what they see in the movies of like people are laying out on the beach all year round. That's not true. The beach is freaking cold in California. Mm-hmm. It's not like Florida. So like when we go to the beach in California, like at Christmas time, we were bundled up and just walking on the beach. We weren't sitting and like going in the water or anything like that.
It was still nice.
Yeah, it's still nice, but it's different.
Yeah.
The fact that we're going somewhere that's like, we're going to be sitting by a pool. And like from what I've heard, Key West is not really a place that you like sit on the beach because it's all rocky. I think there's a couple places you can go.
There's a couple places. And a lot of the allure down there is getting a charter and going out on the reef and seeing the manta rays. And it's really pretty bars of white sand.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah,
if they'll let me on the boat. That's the other thing is like I'm worried that people are going to be like, she seems too pregnant to be here.
They're going to say, sign this waiver, young lady.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm really excited for that. Last couple things. Our registry. This is going to make me sound crazy, but women out there will understand. It's like planning your wedding. Like just over time, I've started to amass all of this information about how to prep for a baby. And I just would blindly pin things on Pinterest.
Yeah.
And then finally I had to put it into action essentially and like create an actual baby registry. And I found myself... Like, I kind of had an idea, but I was reaching out to friends who'd had babies, like multiple babies. And I was like, all right, give me the skinny. What do I actually need? And our friend Sarah Kaiser has been an amazing resource in that regard that I can just send her a text message. I literally did this yesterday. I was like, how many newborn sleepers do I actually need? And she's like, 5 to 8. And I was like, how about 10 to 12? And she's like, sure.
Whatever you want.
So we've amassed quite a bit from our registry.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody that contributed, and it does not go unnoticed. And
absolutely not.
And we hope to see you at our baby shower.
Yeah. Whether that's in person or via Zoom.
Virtually.
Because that's the world we're living in these days.
Well, yeah, that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And final topic as far as planning. Names.
Names.
Do you want to tell the people about our process for that?
So, going back for like what seems to be the topic of this episode, planning. Kate's a planner, and she loves to make Google Docs.
I really do.
Of things that need names or ideas, and one of them turned out to be our baby name idea list. We have gone through so many names, and who knows whether they will change again or not, but we're deciding on a couple names for each gender right now, and I think we're pretty close to nailing it down.
Yeah, it's so interesting how much it's morphed, because so I'm looking at our list right now. Right now, we have 12 boy names. And we have 13 girl names.
Wow.
But we have crossed out a couple of names, which we can share the ones that we've crossed out.
Okay.
And these are ones that either, well, actually all of these, because I was the one who made the list before I shared it with you. But Ben vetoed a handful of these.
I think you vetoed a few as well.
I think I did, yeah. So River was vetoed. I think that also is because I put it on there so long ago and now there's so many rivers.
Really?
Yeah. And also zero shade at any name.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about this. Regardless of what we end up naming our child, someone's not going to like it.
Yeah. And someone has heard that name before.
Right.
Whether we have it or not. And I think that's part of the problem too.
Mm-hmm.
Is every name we come up with, we're like, I know that a person named that and I really don't like him.
Exactly. So River, Augustus, or Gus for short.
Yeah.
I thought it was so cute.
Yeah.
A Gus. A little Gus. So cute.
Remember.
I know.
We need to give them names that people can't pick on them for.
People are creative when they bully people.
That's
so
true.
They can do it with anything. And August was the other boy name that we vetoed.
Uh-huh.
And then Marlo, which I don't even know why I put that one on there.
Nor do I.
And then Berkeley, spelled like the musical school, has been next. And also River for a Girl was also next. So there's still quite a bit, but I would say like there are two solid boy names that we've been bouncing back between, which I'm not going to share names on the podcast. Yeah. And then as far as girl names, we had one. We've had a couple that we were like, oh, yeah, no, that's it. That's the good one.
Mm-hmm.
And then most recently we were out at a restaurant and a friend said a name and we were like, ooh.
Yeah, it was an artist from the 90s.
Yeah, that came on.
Yeah.
That's right. But and now people are going to start to guess, which is fine.
Yeah.
But
let them speculate.
She's and then we started talking about like it was almost like a joke that we were saying this name.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just continued to like grow on us.
Yeah. The joke became like a real visualization in our head.
Right.
Like, yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah. So, and then like messing around with middle names to see what fits. And so I feel like we're a little more on solid ground.
Oh yeah. Big time.
For a girl name than we are on a boy name. Although I think that you're pretty set on the one boy name that we've been tossing around.
Yeah, it's such a cool name.
Yeah.
For so many reasons.
Because you like the nickname.
And the fact that you like the nickname and you will let me have it. Because I asked you, like, you're really cool with this as a nickname? Awesome.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's... I mean, it's a pretty rock and roll name.
Yes, it is.
And he says, yes, it is, with a big ass grin on his face.
Yep.
But I just think it's cute. And it's got a lot of personality and it's very different.
Yeah, it is different.
Yeah.
I don't know any gentleman named that.
Oh.
You know,
a gentleman and a scholar.
A gentleman and a scholar with a name like this.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe the baby will come out, we'll look at it and go, you are not that.
Yeah.
And we'll have to start from scratch. Because I think you have like 10 weeks to legally name your child.
Is that right?
Yeah. Maybe longer, actually. We still have a lot of planning to do, which is super fun.
Yeah, I really do enjoy it.
I do too.
It puts me in the right headspace of like, wow, this is going to happen real soon.
It is crazy to me how quickly we are approaching D-Day.
But I am probably 90% excited and only 10% anxious.
Oh, okay. I was like, what's the other 10%? I'm definitely excited. I think my anxiousness is coming from the physical ass, like the physical ass.
That baby's ass. I'm anxious of that ass.
Oh no, the physical ass. The physical aspect of giving birth.
Yeah.
Because I have not allowed myself, like I know what's going to happen in birth, but I have not let myself dive deep, deep, deep down the rabbit hole of research there because I feel like the more that I know, the more anxious I'm going to be. So I'm in a good headspace right now of like, this is what it is. Many people do it every day.
Yep.
And you're not special. So
in a good way. It was like when we went to see our sonogram last week, and we got confirmation that our baby is, yep, average.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the only time in its life where you're like, yes, yes, average.
It's average.
Of course, in 10 years where it's like, you're getting average grades in math.
Hey, I'm fine with that. Math's hard. Yeah, it was kind of like a running joke that day. And then at one point I was like, is it bad that I keep like saying, you're such an average baby, and like putting my hands on my belly?
Mm-mm.
But yeah, to be told like that you're in the average percentile of growth is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and something else to think about, backing up to what you said about not diving into too much detail. We are lucky enough to have very close friends that have gone through this.
Yes.
Not everyone can be that lucky.
Yeah.
And our doctors are also going to be the same way, where they're going to give us just enough info mm-hmm. to cover all the bases. Mm-hmm. And the friends are the same way.
Yeah.
Like saying, here's something you probably haven't thought of.
Right.
This. But when you get into the delivery room.
Doesn't matter.
You're right. Well, and you don't want to know too much.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, so we've got a handful of other episodes that we've got in the queue, and I just want to thank everybody for your patience, because this is a wild time for us.
Yeah.
I'm still working full time. Ben is still on the road full time, so it's become increasingly challenging for us to find time to sit down and actually record these episodes. So while we try to have an actual schedule for these, we appreciate your patience as we put these out when we can.
Yeah.
But we do have a handful of episodes that we are working on to satiate that need that you've got.
Oh, I'm sure they've got it.
I get people texting me like, hey, it's Tuesday. How come there's not an episode out? I'm like, listen, bro.
Now you know.
Yeah. And now you know. I'm cooking a human over here and I'm working full time.
Yeah,
so,
both. The power of a woman.
Yeah. Leave me alone. Speaking of, this child is kicking like crazy.
Is it its first appearance on the podcast?
Is it? I don't know. I don't think I was getting full-blown kicks the last time we recorded.
You didn't mention it.
I don't think that we did. Yeah. Well, we're getting full-blown kicks over here.
Look at this.
So I guess it still falls under planning. Ben's been playing music to my belly every night.
Yes. Yes, I have. Let's see. Last night was Radiohead,
mm-hmm.
and you wanted to switch it up to Mozart.
Mm-hmm. And, the OG sad girl.
Oh my gosh! And the baby went crazy for Mozart, and gave us a small inclination as it might really like the sad music that my wife enjoys.
I just listen. All I'm saying is that I got the biggest kick response for Mozart.
You know what it probably was? The baby was saying, turn it off. Next. Skip.
skip.
Let's skip like 200 years, please.
Yeah. And then what did you play first? It was...
You mean the first time we did it?
Uh-huh.
It was REO Speedwagon.
Right.
Roll with the Changes. Uh-huh. And then it was Supertramp.
Supertramp. That's what it
was.
Took
a long way home.
Yeah.
Love that song.
If you guys have any recommendations of songs that will be approved by Benjamin
mm-hmm.
to be played for the belly, please let us know in the comments.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And also let us know if there's any topics that you want us to cover. Our window is becoming increasingly small.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try and bang out as many episodes as we can before this child comes.
Yeah.
But bear with us on a schedule. But if there's anything that you want us to cover, let us know. Please feel free to give us a 5-star review if you haven't already. I know a lot of you have.
Please and thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Hi. Look at us.
Look at us.
Hypothetically speaking, would you have thought?
I don't know. I definitely would not have thought that we would be on our way to go interview a pediatrician today.
Ooh, the life of two expecting parents.
Oh my God. We're going to be someone's parents.
Yeah, I'm bringing on. I love you.
Love you too.